The opening pasuk in Parshas Vayishlach, Rashi says that Malachi Mamish, and the Medrash Rabbah, this is really a machlokes Amoraim. The first opinion in Medrash Rabbah says that there were Malachim, Shluchim, Malachim, and Adam. The second opinion says there were Malachim. I don't know exactly why Rashi adopts the second opinion. Rashi understands that it's a hemshech in the closing Shluchim in Vayetze. Vayakov Halachu Adak, but he's called Malachi Alakim. Those are Malachim. Rashi understands that from those malachim that he met at the end of Vayetzeh, he sent to Esau. Rashi at the end of Vayetzeh says, for the Medrash, that these are shnei machnas or malachi yersal malachi chutzlars, like Rashi explains at the beginning of Vayetzeh, when he had the chaloim of the sulam, the malachim of the Jordan, at that time Yaakov Avinu was leaving Eretz Yisrael, so Malachi Eretz Yisrael don't go to Chutzlars. Then when he came back into Eretz Yisrael at the end of Vayetzeh, so the Malachi Chutzlars went back to heaven, so to speak, and the Malachi Eretz Yisrael came back to protect him. So I saw the Rishonim ask Akasha, either the Bali Atayim Tiyas, and the Tanya Yofis, and other Achronim in there, Tulpu, the Tifi Atulpu speak about it, but the Bali Atayim Tiyas Akasha, how could Yankov send the Malachim to Esau to Bei Edom? If these are now, we're holding now by Malachi Eretz Yisrael. If they just switched, Machanoyim, now he's holding by Malachi Eretz Yisrael. So where's he going to send the Malachim? He thought that his brother was far away in Chutzlars. So how could he send these Malachim to Chutzlars? So the Bali Atesh is the answer that was done. He must say he wasn't sure where they would find his brother. So he sent a mixture of Eva the Eva. He sent a mixture of different Malachim. Wherever he'll be, if it's Malachi it'll be in Chutzlars. Malachi Chutzlars will go to speak to him. If he'll be in Eretz Yisrael, Malachi Eretz Yisrael will go to speak to him. That's how the Bali Atesh is saying this part. They're bothered with this cast. If now we're holding by the Malachi Eretz Yisrael, how can he possibly think to send them to Chutzlars? The Gemara in Masechus Sota has a Perek Evan Emorim with a Mishnayis and the Gemara derive from the Pesukim exactly which mitzvahs of Amira have to be fulfilled up to the Lashon HaKodesh and which can be said in translation. Moshe Duchanim. The Kohanim have to be recited to Birchas Kohanim Dafke in the original. And Birchas Amazim can be used in translation. Kriyas Mazam Achloikin Satanoim. And the Mishnayis have all the different dinim. Some have to be in the original and some can be in translation. So the Gemara derives some of the dinim from the expression Kol. In other words, like Kos Rochaz Neisar Malahan, the following the Lashon Hazeh, Dafki the Lashon HaKodesh. I saw some suggest over here that when Yankov, the Pan of Yosef, says like this, if I'm not mistaken, when Yankov tells the Malachim, Kosham, Ladani Yisrael, he tells them to insist that they should speak in Hebrew. What's that to insist? I think it's quoted from the Pasuk in the end of Vayetzeh also, that when Lavan called the spot Bigato Haduso, Yaakov insisted it has to be Galei. Has to be Hebrew. That's a hatred to Yoni, that everything has to be a writ. He doesn't speak any other language. I think what Fanny Yoffer says, based on the Medrash, that the Medrash says, what schar did Bnei Yisrael deserve a gula from Mitzrayim? So one of the things that they were mocked about was the Tzatzel Loshinu Lushan, that they were mocked on speaking Loshin HaKodesh. Or, that's the first shot. Or at least if you speak a greater language, you should speak Nivolfet, you should be with a proper speech. So Yankov gave a message to his shluch, and he wants him to speak Kosom Laden, so has to be exactly the way I say it. They shouldn't say it, it shouldn't lose in translation. It should say it either in the original Hebrew, or even if in translation, whatever, but it should be with my signal. His machzor has to be his signal. Part of his signal was that he counted his brother Esau. He keeps on referring to him as Adoni Le'esov. He keeps on referring to himself as Abduch HaYakov. That's part of the statement. But he wants to make sure that they say the Chanika properly. The Gemara has a whole study also Lahasna for showing. Chanika Chomer. Rabbeinu Yoni quotes so much Shmolos, Gemara Shmolos about the Katkanes and the people who come for others. It's an Easter of sort of a Vishnival if you can nichshol. If I set somebody else up to do an Aveira, that's Vishnival, or someone is doing an Aveira and I pat him on the back. and I'm a chabad him, and everything is okay, everything is fine. So it'll never occur to him that he should be koiz of a tshuva. He gets the impression that that I'm being maskim with everything that he's doing. So that's the problem over here. How can Yankov Avinu refer to his brother Adonai Yesov, and he says Abdecha Yankov? The whole thing is not true. What Abdecha Yankov? He didn't hold from his brother. Amish Chanifa Lerushan. So the Gemara in Saita in the first paragraph has a whole sugya. You don't have many places about Chanifa. That is an issue. The Gemara in Saita has a whole sugya. Then at the end of the whole thing, the Gemara says Muta Lahachna Hashan Barla Mazen. The Gemara quotes the Sukkim over here. How can it be Muta Lahachna Hashan Barla Mazen? He just said that it's us. The Saita says that what it means is that the Machin Pikuach Nefesh, it's Muta. When you have Pikuach Nefesh, then it's Muta. But when there's no Pikuach Nefesh, then it's us. It's because you want to support a yeshiva. So you, the honor of a man is not to a shiksa, and his wife gets up and she gives $10,000 in honor of her husband's religion. So what's the Pekuach Nefesh? Pekuach Nefesh says he's afraid he's going to kill him. That's what he's afraid of. So in this case it was Mutar. Even though the Gemara seems to assume that Yankov did the right thing, that he had a heter mishum Pekuach Nefesh, still I saw the Mefarshim on the Chumash, some of the Rishonim have like this. It could be that it's a Medrash, I didn't look. Because Yankov Avinu said 8 times, Adoni Esav, that's why Esav was there. And the end of it said, we have to have 8 Malachim. So Zeyla Malachim, Shemalchul Be'edam, Lefnei Malach Melech, Lefnei Malach Melech, Lefnei Yisrael. And the Pasuk missed off the 8 Malachim. So why 8? So that's Mechuvim Kenegah, the fact that he chomped in him 8 times by referring to Esav as Adoni Esav. I thought it was the Heter. What is an Einish over here? Apparently it's not so much of a Heter. Even when you have a Heter to Tuach Nefesh, to the Mach Nefeshoin, Boil Mazeh, it's a little too much. Should have given him the Matana, should have... Or the Ramban quotes over here, the first Ramban on Vayishlach quotes the Medrash Rabbah, that quotes the Pasuk from Mishlei, that there's a Duav, without the Lashon of the Pasuk, Eichei, So if there's a dog running by in the street and he's not bothering anybody, you go over and you start grabbing hold of the dog and you start off at the dog. So of course he's going to bite you. He's going to start barking at you. Let the dog walk away. What do you have to check for the dog for? So the Medrash says that Yankov made a mistake over here. He shouldn't have started up with Esav. He should have marked up and listened. They should have just come back there. So they believe that Esav wasn't around. Once he sends him a message, so he has to go apologize and he has to give him matanis and say, I love you, and so on and so forth, the whole story. But the Medrash says that he did wrong over here. He should have stayed away from him. Should have had nothing to do with him. Says he should always buy mutual funds. Because he divided the same machanos. So the Rebbe says that you shouldn't put all of your eggs in one basket. You can't on a London. People invest all their money in real estate, and real estate goes there, so they're in trouble. People invest all their money in whatever and other things, so that goes there, so they're in trouble. The Rebbe says, based on this passage, you see that you should. Is first your investments and invest in different things. If this goes bad, you'll make money on the other one. Rashi comments on the machana. How come sometimes it's loshen zocha, sometimes loshen akeva? Shnei machanos. The fact that it's machanos, plural is vavtov, that really doesn't mean anything because we have a lot of times in Hebrew. The plural is yud mem and it's noshim, hilakshim, and so on, chitim. And it's the word is akeva, noshim are akeva. And you have a lot of times you walk off and it's really a Loshen Zohar. So that doesn't, that's neither here nor there. But it says Shnei Machanos, that shows that it's Loshen Zohar, and it's a Yavayit or a Machna Ha'achat. Dihi Kohu. It's already Hoya Machana Hanishar. So it's Loshen Zohar, Loshen Akeva, back and forth. So Rashi says that Machana is one of those words of Loshen Zohar and Loshen Akeva. Tosis Yontif HaMishnah is Nazir quotes from Ibn Ezra that any word in the Hebrew language that's not a Balchai can either be a Zohar on a Keva. Not like Rashi. Rashi says it 5 to 10 words. That's all. He quotes Ibn Ezra that the ruba of the Hebrew words, like 99% of their words in the Hebrew language, alav datke zocher on a cave, everything goes, they're all an androgyn. If it's not an animal, it's not a zocher, it's not a cave, it's to do with everyone. Zacharehu on a cave, that's very schwer. The Pashtus is not like what he quotes from Ibn Ezra. The Pashtus is like Rashi says. It's just a handful or two handful, whatever, of words in Hebrew that are both lashon zocher and lashon cave. Famous comment on the Vilna Gaon, the great of the Vilna Gaon on the Gemara in the beginning of Sefer, when the Gemara has a whole discussion about Gaiva. The Gemara has how terrible it is that a person is Nizgoya. And then the Gemara says, if I'm a Kochim, the Gemara has a Machlek, if I'm a Kochim, has to have a little bit of self-esteem, has to have a slight amount of Gaiva, Shminis he should have, in order that the people should have respect for him. If he's going to be so humble, so then the people won't look up to him, and they won't ask him any shyness, and they won't respect him and so on. And then the final conclusion of the Gemara is that it's not so. Lo minov lo miktosa. That even the Talmud Chacham, it's not proper to have even the Shmini Shevishminis. What does the Gemara mean by the expression Shmini Shevishminis? Usually the Belt says that Shmini Shevishminis is an eighth of an eighth, so it's 164, so it'll be bottled to shisha. Even if I have a little bit of geyser, it'll be bottled to shisha. That's how people use it. So the quote of Vort in the name of the Vilna Gaon, it doesn't really fit into the Gemara, but it's a famous Vort that he says, Shmini Shevishminis refers to the eighth Pasuk and the eighth Sedna. That this Pasuk says, Katonti Mikol HaChasadim and Kol HaEmes. That Vayishlach is the eighth Sedna. And the eighth Pasuk and the eighth Sedna, the Sedna begins with Pasuk Dalet. You're missing the first two Pasuk, but this is Pasuk Yud Aleph. So the eighth Pasuk and the eighth Sedna is the Shmini Shevishminis, and he says, Katonti. It doesn't really fit into the context of the Gemara. Because the Gemara says, the first opinion of the Gemara, Talmud Chacham, has to have a little bit of self-esteem, and he has to demonstrate a little bit that he has a little bit of self-esteem. Then the Gemara concludes that it's not so. Lo minov v'lo miktosa. Doesn't really fit in. Courses? Okay. Small amount. It corresponds to a measure in the days of the Gemara. Okay. Pasuk shot, yeah. He's referring to something that exists in the days of the Gemara. Yare anochi yoto penyavobi hikani aim al bonim. What does it mean, aim al bonim? So the Targum Onkelos also writes, ima al benaya. What does that mean? Aim al bonim. But so the Chazkuni translates what he thinks is Pasuk shot, aim in bonim. If the word aim al bonim means aim in bonim. Like you find in other places in Chumash, you find sometimes that it says by Korbanah, sometimes it says Al Pirsho Yisro. What does it mean Al Pirsho? It means in Pirsho. It doesn't mean that you have to burn this on top of the chela. In Pirsho. The Rosa Aim Al Banim is the same as Aim In Banim. I remember someone in Europe wrote a funny paper that's called Osen Bosen, full of humorous comments and learning on Tanakh, different things. I remember saying he has a theory and he tries to establish it based on Mishnayos and Gemaras that every letter of the Aleph can be Mishchalef with the letter that's next to it. So he proves from places all over the place. I don't remember if he has this. I saw it many years ago. Here's the Lamed and Mem next to each other. And then one of the things that he quotes is, it says in the Mishnah Bava Kama, Loiki, Ela Vesela Loka. The Mazik Oimer, Shorke Hizik, and the Mizik Oimer, and the Mizik, the Mazik Oimer, Shorke Hizik, the Mazik Oimer, Loiki, Ela Vesela Loka. What is the expression Loiki? It means Loika. Loiki is the same as Loika. So you see that Yud Mechaf on the top. He has the whole funny, everything like that. Every two letters are next to each other. Anyway, but here the Chazkuni writes like that. Aim Abonim is the same as Aim in Bonim. Gittin has among the list of the takonis the Rabbanon, the Ramecha Abdel Chutzlor, the Ramecha Abdel Akum, we penalize him that he has to buy the Eved back. Why? Because when the Eved is Bishuta Yisrael, is able to observe Shabbos and Kashrus and everything. When he's Bishuta Akum, to sell an Eved Kainis to a Goy, won't be able to keep the Mitzvah Sateret, so it's forbidden to sell an Eved to a Goy. So I think the point of the office has this comment, that when Yankit sends the whole gift of all of these behemoths to his brother Esav, and he sent the Shluchim, he sent the Malachim with him, so when Esav saw the behemoths, it would be unclear as to exactly how far the Matana goes. Is he only giving him the behemoths, or is he giving the Avodim as well? But the Pan of the office interprets that that's why Yankit gave him a clear instruction. When you meet my brother, tell him that this is a gift to him and you're Avodim to me and you're coming back. You're not going to stay with him. You shouldn't think that he's going to get the Avodim. I don't want to violate this Easter of giving an Eved to a Nafik. Giving an Eved to a Nafik is another form of looking into the city missile. You have an Eved signing show yourself, including the Mitzvah Tisha, but if you give him over to a Nafik, he's unable, he'll be unable to observe the Mitzvah Tisha. He interprets that's why he says, Amatul Abdukhul Yankif, we are Lini Eila. So they say, we have the Chol Yankis, we don't belong to you. We don't go with the gift. This is your present, and we don't go along with the present. And each one, he has it to make sure that none of them should think, none of the Avodim should think that they're being given over as a gift. That's what they were supposed to say? Quotation mark. That's what they're saying. When they meet Esav, they say, Chadova says to the Avlon Esav, you should tell my brother, because your brother's afraid you want to kill him and he wants to butter you up, so he wants to give you a present so you won't be too angry. That's what they're supposed to say. So the Cheskuni has two pshatim. The second shot, he says, no, that's Divrei HaBala Sefer. He says that the Rebbeinu Shlomo puts that into the Chumash Ki Amar, because Yanka was thinking in the back of his mind, but that's not what he told the Shluchim to say. That's the interpretation of why he did all of this. But then his first shot is, no, that's what they're supposed to tell over to Esau. He says, the second shot, they're not going to tell this to Esau. Why should they remind him of the hatred that he has to his brother Yanka? If he has the hatred, he'll have it on his own. But it doesn't make sense to mention it then. But the first shot he says no. That this is what they're supposed to, this is part of the message that they're going to say. Dr. Strange, I thought the second shot on the Chazkuni was the Pashup shot. Ki Amar is Divrei Bala Sefer. That's not Divrei Yankif. That's not what the Shluchim say. The Rashi says in the name of the Medrash, Avu Shori Bikas Shohei Torah L'Chol Zeh. Avu Shori Bikas, he was also angry Shohei Torah L'Chol Zeh, that he had to waste his time with all of this, that he had to give a present to his brother. What do you mean he was also angry? Who else was angry? Who Esav was angry at him from a long time back, from 20 years ago? That's what it means. What kind of a lotion? Afu shori b'kaas hayam. But one of the Mefarshim on Rashi says that there's supposed to be a period here. Al pano. Vayicha rav. In Tanakh. Vayicha rav means that a person gets angry. So it says, Vatav amincha al pano. Afu. Medrash HaGvara. Afu. What does that mean? Shori b'kaas hayam. Shori tzorach l'hoze. He was angry. But it does mean he was also angry. There was no one else who was angry. He was angry. But the lotion al pano was a lotion af, a lotion of kaas. Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Chulin in Perek Yidah Nasha. Vayivasa yankiv levado yishokach pachem ktanim mechozer aleihem. How did the Chachamim know that he forgot Pachim Tanim? So the Bali HaTesis gives two suggestions. That one they like and one they don't like so well. One suggestion they give is, it's based on Al-Tikri. Al-Tikri Levado El Mekado. He was the Yankee Mekado. How's that? Can you say Al-Tikri Levado El Mekado forgot the Tikri word? I don't know, what does it mean in general, Al-Tikri? Gemara has so many drushes on Tikri. I think there are a few Svarim on that, where they collected all the drushes on Tikri, some of the drushes. I wrote from Germany and other, a few Rabbanim put out Svarim. They collected all the places where the Gemara has a drusha of Al-Tikri there, and they tried to explain what was the style of the drusha, what was fetching the Gemara, how did they see the darshan Al-Tikri Kachalaka. So here the Balei HaTesis, some suggest Al-Tikri Levadu El Lekado, and others say that that's ridiculous. How can you see Al-Tikri Levadu El Lekado? But they say no. Like the word Beis Habad. Beis Habad means a factory where you bottle something, where you bottle juice, or you bottle oil or something, in a container. So they say by Yvata Yankev Levada, Tikri Levado El Levado. Beis Habad. Why is it better Beis Habad? I don't understand. By Yvata Yankev Levado. The word bad means the barrel of the container. I don't know. That's what the Gemara has had a tradition on this process. That it's Shochach Pachin Tanin because Tzadikim Chobav Valayim Amayim Yosem Yigufam because they're not posting the Dan Begezel. That every penny that they have is hard earned money. They didn't cheat, they didn't steal it from somebody else, so that's why they're so marked on their cookies. So that's why he was on the dock there, so they had to go schlepp even the top and time. By Yovik Ishimo, he had some kind of a tremendous fight. What was the significance of this fight? Rashi quotes Tirshi Razal from the Bereshis Rabashu, the Sora Shalaisim. But this represented the fight between Yankis and Ace. This is the Malach of Ace fighting with him. And other Rishonim give an interpretation. I don't know if it's based on Medrash. A few other Rishonim give a different interpretation, that the Malach wasn't fighting with him like Yankis would fight, Esav would fight with Yankis. Rather that Yaakov prepared this whole gift, and then he decided to run away. Which direction was Mava Yabba going? So some of the Rishonim say that he was running away from Esav. He sent the gift and then he decided to run away to another direction, not to be there when for this encounter, for this confrontation. And the Malach was fighting with Yankiv that he shouldn't run away from Esav, that he should come and approach Esav and he shouldn't be afraid. The Ribbono Shel Olam promised him, "Hinei Anochi Yitzoch Ushmaticha B'Cholot Tzeilach Hashivarticha." The Ribbono Shel Olam promised him, so what are you afraid of? So Yankov was afraid Shemigar Machet, and the Malach was fighting with him, no, come back and see that the Haftarah HaVakadosh Baruch Hu will be fulfilled. A few Rishonim say like that. But it wasn't really like Rashi quotes in the Medrash that he was Torah Shalaisa fighting against him. He was sort of, he was fighting against him. They had a fight, but he was not his antagonist. He was fighting against him, telling him that he should do the right thing and approach his brother, not be afraid. He should rely on the Haftarah HaVakadosh Baruch Hu. Tells us that we are forbidden to eat Gidan Asher because of this story. Al Kein Lechem Esos Gidan Asher. Ad Hayayin Hazeh. Ki Naga B'chaf Yerach Yaakov B'Gidan Asher. What exactly does that mean? Because of this story, therefore, what's the connection? What's the lesson that we're supposed to remember over here? The Rishonim have different interpretations. Some Rishonim say we're supposed to remember that when Yaakov Avinu fights with Malachim, he wins. But Yaakov wins. It means that Bnei Yisrael are lamayla min ha-teva. Yaakov represents Klal Yisrael and the Malachim represent Teva. So Klal Yisrael is lamayla min ha-teva. The haraya that Yaakov won the fight. So Kain, in order to remember this lesson, which we say in Amunah, Avein Mazal Yisrael, that we're not Tachas Shlita, Tachachal Mahamazalos, that's why we don't eat Giran Asher. That's one shot. Other Rishonim have a different shot. I came to Yochel Bnei Yisrael's Giran Asher, that if they have this old man, he was quite old at that time. No, how old was Yaakov Avinu when he went to Padan Aram? When he went there, he was over 80. And this is 20 years later, he's over 100. And he has so many children, and they're young teenagers. And they need the old man to schlep all the packages at night. They should have let the father go to sleep, and they should schlep all the packages. So they were really in violation of some. Somewhere he told them that he wants to carry the Pachmistanim. They said, "Dad, forget about the Pachmistanim. Leave it there already. After every penny." And he says, "Yeah." Because he had to work hard. Not posting a day in the Gezel. So they said, "We're going to sleep. You want to carry Pachmistanim? You carry it." So they were mezalzel, and then because they weren't helping the father, so that's why he was mugged by this whoever, by this malach, whoever it was who beat him up. And he broke his leg and he was limping. So then when they woke up in the morning, they realized that they did wrong, they should have helped the father. So as a kafara for their violation of Kibbutz, that's a hopeful for Rishon said. As a kafara for their violation of Kibbutz, they decided that they're never going to eat Giranosh. Then the Rabbanu Shel Olam approved of this, and he gave this as a mitzvah. Something like that. That's how Rupa Rishon is saying. Al Ken, Vayochum Neitoz Giranosh. Therefore, what's the therefore? Either to remember the Yisoid in Emunah, that Klal Yisrael is Lamal Ben Ateva, or as a kafara for not having fulfilled the Kibbutz, for being not fulfilled, for violation. But being the Zalzon and Kibbutz. Giran Noshe, the Gemara has a machloek to Satanai, where the HP didn't get into town or ain't get into the ancient town. We assume that a lot of it ain't get into the ancient town. But it has no machine in town. But let's say if you cook a Giran Noshe in a pot of soup, and then you realize that you left in the tray to get enough, so just take it out and throw it out in the garbage. And the rest is just kosher, but it doesn't give any nisim astam. How could it be a machlokes hatanaim, v'chadov v'shom metziyus? Why didn't they test it? Why didn't they get the Gemara has, timach kfeilo, give it to a kfeilo harama, give it to a nafri. Make an experiment, cook 100 pots of soup and put in the get enough in each one and have 100 grain taste it and see if they taste, does it taste like regular soup, or can they discern the fact that there's get enough cooked in it? How come there's machloekes hatanaim over here? The fact of lechor, you have to say that it has a little bit of a nesina tam, but it doesn't have that much of a nesina tam. Lechor, that's the machloekes. Lechor is not a machloekes in mitzvah. First machloekes is what's the shear of tam kikar. You know, tam kikar has that of some shear. So the gidanosha has a very slight flavoring. So you have to say whether that flavoring is significant enough to be considered included in the din of tam kikar. So he passed on a lot of the end of in time, but it does not, the time does not. There's different kinds of things. Let's say, sometimes you have, Morris says shishim, it doesn't mean that everything in the world is neat shishim in order to remove the time. Sometimes if you have five times as much as the trade, so the time goes away. Sometimes you need 10 times as much, sometimes you need 100 times as much. If it's a milsa david al taima, if it's a flavoring, if you have a concentrate, you have, let's say, powdered milk. If you mix powdered milk into shishim, it's not going to be bottled with shishim. That's a concentrate. You have a flavor. It's milk of David all the time, so it's not bottled with shishim. Shishim is by the average. Whenever you don't know, so the Gemara says you always have the right to assume that it's bottled with shishim. Unless you know the theory otherwise, that they believe more than shishim. So here the halacha says that you don't even need anything. As long as you remove the giran osha, there's no nesina tam at all. That slight amount of nesina tam that it gives doesn't count. Not that it's bottled on less than shisha. That tam that comes from the giran osha doesn't count at all. The Gemara used the expression as eight the almahu. Eight tzuv atayros ras. It's like eating a piece of wood. So the Minhasina picks up on that, and he takes the Gemara literally. The Gemara's lotion is eight tzuv atayros ras. Eight mean a shtikov, you're eating a toothpick, you're eating a piece of wood, a piece of paper. And nonetheless, the Torah prohibits you from eating it. So what would be the din if a person eats Giran Osha, Shaloi Kederach Achilasa? The Gemara says, whenever you have all Macholot Asuras in the Torah, if you eat it, Shaloi Kederach Achilasa, so the whole Ether is only the Rabbanon. There's no Ether there, right? And since the whole Ether is only the Rabbanon, so in certain cases, you would be Mekel. It would be the Machm Chavish and the Sakana. The Gemara says you would sometimes be Mekel. The Gemara has details. You have to look in the Gemara, and the Ramon Shulchan Aruch has the details exactly when you make of a Mokum Chayla, how much of a Chayla do you have to be, and which Issa the Rabbanon is more kal than which. So the Hachinuch suggests, wants to say, that Giran Asher, you're always eating the Shluk Derech HaChilotin. If the Shluk Derech HaChilotin, for example, I have a tray for food, and I eat it when it's burning hot. I just cooked it on the fire. I eat it when it's burning hot, and I burn my tongue. That's abnormal. Unless I take it out of the freezer, it's hot as a rock, and I eat it. I take out trace of salami from the freezer. No one normal would eat such cold stuff. It will wait till it thaws out, till it's in the pastry. The guy eats it when it's ice cold. Or he takes some trace of food and he pours on so much mustard that he burns his tongue. He pours on so much ketchup that it's burning. The food itself is not nitzal me'achilas sodom. These are two different things. Achilas sodom is one thing, and shlok derech achilas is a different thing. That's what the Chavizdat points out here then. Nitzal me'achilas sodom means that the tray for food just became kosher. He says the chiddush that even if later on it becomes chayzer v'nira, even if it becomes royal achilas sodom later on, doesn't matter. Once the tray for food turned into heter, it remains heter v'yoyin avoid. That's the chiddush of the Chavizdat. Other Rachmanim dispute the point, and they think that it's not correct that you would require dafka that it should become nisim achilas hakelav. That's not enough. Even the Gemara says you only found nisim achilas hakelav achamid. The Sharisun went to nisim achilas adam. It's already mutar, mutar ben achirus. The whole discipline is only the rabban. But still, in order to say that even choyze v'nir, even if it's choyze v'nira, and now it's royal achila again, that the yisur mamish is wiped off and it's heter gomor. That the other Achrayim dispute the Chavis Das and Chiddush, and I think that you would require the after Nisim Achilos Hakel. So these are clearly two different Heter. One is Nisim Achilos Dod and one is Shalok Derech Achilosa. Shalok Derech Achilosa, the thing remains hotter. When I take it out from the freezer, or it's burning hot, you don't say that it's Nisim Achilos Dodam, and therefore even if later on it becomes, it cools down or you warm it up, it will still remain Wutali Erlum Vod. That's not so. That's not cool. When you cook trace of food and it's burning hot while it's on the fire, and if you eat it then, that's shalok derech achilosa. That's not called nisim achilosa. Nisim achilosa means, let's say I had, I don't know, but I took a tray for food and I cooked it in some kind of a chemical that absolutely spoiled it. And if I'll just hold it under the water and wash it off, the chemical will not be removed. I'll have to have some anti-chemical. I'll have to have some major production to get to restore it back to be royal achila. So that would be called nisam me'achila sodom. That's because I poured out, let's say I soaked it in ink. I have trays of salami and I soak it in ink. So who's going to eat the salami with ink? But all you have to do is hold the salami under the water for half an hour and get all the ink off. So that'll be royal achila. So that, if you eat it while it still has the ink on, that's look at the derech achila. That's not called nisam me'achila sodom. You can easily remove it. If it's easily reversible, then it's like a derech achilasa. But if it's not easily reversible, you need a major job. You need some special chemical trick in order to make it royal achila. Then it's called nitzah me'achila. And Chavizdat and the other achrenim say sometimes it'll be heter gomer, won't become chayzer v'roi again. So that's the shayla by Gidon Moshe. So the Mechatzinoch claims a chiddush that since we passed in halacha that eitzu v'atayra asur asroi, it ain't the Gidman Eisen Thomas. He says, whenever you get on Osh, it's always Nisal Me'achila and Shloka Derech Achilas. Nonetheless, the Torah says that it's also prohibited that even if the get on Osh, even if you lead it burning hot or ice cold, or even if it gets rotten and spoiled and it's moldy and everything, why should that make it more mutter? To begin with, it's not Michael Oden. It's a piece of wood. And nonetheless, it's also, so Nitzal Me'achila wouldn't make it any better, any more mutter. And Shalok Derech Achilasa wouldn't make it more mutter either. Everything is wrong. And other poskim disagree with him. They say, that's not what it means. The Gemara uses a melitza, Eitzel Atara Asrasa. It doesn't mean that it's really eight. It means that not all trays of food are nice and tam. The Gemara just has a dispute. It's light and seen as tam that comes out of the Gidam Nasha. You say that falls under the category of tam tikir. Oh no, it's not enough on the Sinas Tam. Not only don't you need Shishi, you don't need Asura, you don't need Chamisha, you don't need anything. The Tam that comes out is not considered a Tam. That doesn't count. But it doesn't mean that the thing is not Royal Achila. People eat the meat, and they eat the Gidon also. They eat the Gidon, they eat the Gidon Osh also. It's not, it's a prohibition. We're not allowed to eat it. You have to remove the Gidon Osh. But if a boy would eat it, he might want to eat the Gidon Osh also. Not that it's absolutely not Royal Achila. That's why the Prima Gordon, who preceded the Mechaskin, and Prima many other persons say that it's not so. That if the Gidon Osh is Nisal Me'achilosh, but there are Achilosh, then it's only the Rabban. It wouldn't be there, right? The Mishnah says that the Din of Gidon Osh is only knowing that the hand of the Chai of Aloy the Yoyz and She'ein Lo Ka. And it says in the Pasuk, Asher Aka Fayora. Greg the Gemara, that's not true. An oaf has a cup. Has the exact same Gidon Osh that the Bein and the Chaya has. Has a cup. But Igmar says, no, but the cup is not Ogul. The only time it's author is if the Gidon Osh goes over a cup, which is Ogul. One bone that goes into the other bone, it's like a thing going into a socket, and on top it's round. So by Oifus, the Gemara says there is a calf, but it's flat, it's not oval. So then the Gemara has an interesting Vaidloi Chita, Sekir Azina, Sofik Berai. What if you have a behemoth that has a calf that's flat, or you have an oaf that happens to have a calf that's oval? Does it actually depend on oval versus non-oval? Or does it depend on behemoth Achaya versus oaf? Does it depend on the min? The Mishnah formulated it in. The Kira Nosh is not the same as the Chai below the Yod. You have different dinim. Sometimes Chaylev is only like the Behema of the Chai or below the Behema. Chaylev is only like the Behema. It's not like the Chai or the Yod. So it says, no, it's only like the Behema. Different dinim. Kishu Yadam is only like the Chai or the Yod. It's not like the Behema. I mean, it's nice, this stuff, which dinim are noig the behemah, which bechaya, which shita, shita is a machleik of satan, whether you shita loif min ha-tayra or not, machleik of Hashem, not a paskin, whether shita loif is min ha-tayra min ha-rabah. So the Gemara has any Bible of shita regarding Gid al-Nashah. Does it really depend on the minim of behemah bechaya versus zolf, or does it depend on the kaf ogul versus the kaf she'in ogul? Others interpret Al Kane Layoko Bene Zogyanasha. What's the Al Kane because of this story? What's Al Kane? The Samishan said because of the Zilgul and Kibir Aviyain. And others say to remember this story, to represent this story in Hashkofe, that Bene Yisrael Allah Ma'alam and Ateva, that when we fight with the Malach and we win. And others say, they quote from the Zohar, that the Medrash has this also a little bit, that the Malach succeeding, the Malach fighting with this. This was the Sarish al Esav, and it was an antagonistic fight. It wasn't that he was encouraging him to confront Esav and to rely on the Rabban Shalom Tatsav. No, this was Esav Shliach, kill Yankov. And he didn't succeed. Ben Yisrael survived all the pogroms and all the persecutions and all the Holocaust. But take a copy off Yankov, they off the Ema, but they do kill a lot of Jews. Every time there's a pogrom, they kill millions of Jews throughout all the centuries. They killed a lot of people. So the Medrash says that that's an allusion to the Dorish Ol Shmad, when they go and kill a lot of people. So the pasuk continues, Al Kain, representative of this idea, Le'och B'nei Soz Gid Al-Nash, representative of what idea? The fact that the Jews will survive through all of the persecutions, representative of the theme of Nitzchis Yisrael. The Jews will survive throughout all the years of persecution and harassment and so on, but will suffer losses. So that's why we're not permitted to eat Gid al-Nashah. It's based on this interpretation of Al Kain, that some Chachamim who were into studying Kabbalah came up with the idea that when Moshe HaMashiach, when all the persecutions will end, will be permitted to eat Gid al-Nashah. I just have loyed Hashin and Tainer Ikro. Say that we know 100% the reason for the din in the Torah, so whatever the reason doesn't apply, then the din doesn't apply. But Shlomo Lavilna has in the Hagdamah to his Tshuvah, the Binyan Shlomo, he has in the beginning of his sefer, the first 20-30 pages, they're all Biurim and Chumash, from his own, and some from his father, and some from his brother, the Talmud. So he likes this Chatov, he quotes the Gemara in the second Tereth in Sanhedrin, that there is a machleik of Shimon and Rabban, whether Dashin and Tamidikro, he passed away, Dashin and Tamidikro, that the reasons for the mitzvahs do not serve, for the mitzvahs and for the averas, don't serve as a drosha. It's not for the midrash, or the drosha's name. The Gemara always gives reasons for the dinim and the Torah. The Gemara says, why does a ganet take kefal and a gazlan doesn't take kefal, and hakam shavah say, he take hamisha bokesham, tachas hashavavah, and tachas hashavah, and why Zirat Mukhul is far. The Gemara has different explanations in the Ramam and the Mor Nebuchim and the Sefer Achinuch and the Kisri HaRizal and Noloch Siddish is far. They all give reasons for all the Mitzvahs of Torah. So that's not a problem of Lai Dashin and Tanim Mitzvah. That's a Chelik of Talmud Torah to try to understand what did Rabban Shalom have in mind. What moral, ethical, or religious principle is he trying to teach us by giving us these Mitzvahs? The Machlekes of Shimon and Rabban, whether Dashin and Tanim Mitzvah is, so we have Midrash Hatar and Nidreshes Ben. You have the Bryce of Rebbe Shmuel has Yudgim Midrash Hatar and Nidreshes Ben. Is Time of the Krua also a Midrash Hatar and Nidreshes Ben? Is it Dashina Time of the Krua? Means that it regulates the application of the mitzvah. Whenever the reason applies, then the mitzvah applies. Whenever the reason doesn't apply, the mitzvah doesn't apply. Should you say, no, Lord Dashina Time of the Krua? It's not a drosh. You try to figure out Time of the Krua. That's a chelik of Talmud Torah, but it doesn't regulate the application. So that's what the Shlomo Lazunda asks on this notion How can you say that Bimot HaMashiach will be Mutter to eat the Gidan Hashem? It's not like that Shin and Taimin and Cross, but he says no. The Gemara says in the second paragraph in Sanhedrin, whenever the Pasuk itself, where the prohibition is formulated, the prohibition of the mitzvah is formulated, says the reason for the mitzvah. It says, La Yabala Nashim La Yasir Es Levavoy. Since one time it says there, he permitted the kohen, the melech is permitted to marry as many wives as he wants, provided that they're all very, very poor. Because the Torah says the reason why Le'yabalon Hashem is Le'yasal Shavavoy, that you know for sure there's not going to be a problem of Le'yasal Shavavoy, they're very, very poor. So then he's permitted to marry more than 18 wives. So the Gemara says, and this is not in violation of the Pesach that we passed in, like the Rabban, the Rabshim, Le'yasal Shavavoy, the Rabshim, but the Pesach says Le'yasal Shavavoy. It says right next to the law. The reasons, whatever the reason doesn't apply, the law doesn't apply. That's how Shlomo the Gaon says. Okay, Lachem says Gidan Asher, Ki Nogem Katiyach Yachid to Gidan Asher. It says the reason for Gidan Asher is this. Whenever the reason doesn't apply, so the Issa doesn't apply. That's why they took it. That's why they took it when I think they write in the book that when Shabtai Tzvi proclaimed that he was Mashiach, they started eating Gidan Asher. That was the simon. But behold, the Mashiach came already. No more persecutions. Since Shabtai Tzvi, there were more persecutions than there ever were before. He made a mistake. He made a big mistake. But that's what Shlomo Le Vilna suggests. He goes along with this notion. That the Mosha Mashiach, the Yisra Gidan Asher, one of mine. I saw Rabbi Pesach Frank in the Har Tzvi quotes from his brother. They have the notes that he wrote every week. He used to talk in Chumash with different Zaylin. But he wrote notes. But he writes that his brother said a comment. His brother thought that Shlomo Le Vilna was absolutely wrong. 100% wrong. But he didn't say any mocker to say like that, that Gidan Asher is going to be Mutter Limon Samashiach. But he said, Adarav, the Pasuk says, Akeli Echon, he tells Gidan Asher, how does it say, Adayam Azeh? Adayam Azeh. So what does that mean? Even through Limon Samashiach, whenever you read the Chumash. Adayam Azeh is a dead giveaway that it's wrong. Shlomo Le Vilna somehow understands Adayam Azeh means until the day that it's written by Moshe Rabbeinu. What does that mean? If he holds it, it doesn't apply to Limon Samashiach. How does he read Adayam Azeh? Strange. As I see, says the Frank, quotes his brother. No, I don't know. The Pesach says the Seir, it says it's not even the man as that. Even the man as Hashem, it'll always be man. No, not at all. No, this is all their interpretation of the Pesach.
But the very answer is that as long as
if it says the reason for the mitzvah is given right with the mitzvah in conjunction with the mitzvah, then it's understood to be a tanai, that the mitzvah only applies, the mitzvah or the yaver only applies when the reason applies.
Right.
So then I'm Shlomo Le Vilna has a long arichas on this. He says that this is also such a case. This is Zohar interprets Kinoga Alkein Le'echel means as a zeichet to the persecution. So the Moshe says when there won't be any longer any persecution, but then there won't be any use of Gidan Asher. Very fluky, yeah. The Pashup Shat is that it's not so.
You
mean there was a minig? Okay, there was a minig up until Matan Torah, and then from then on it was an Issa. Could say. But Yochel B'nei Yisrael means that B'nei Yankiv. But B'nei Yankiv didn't need Gidan Asher, they were Makabal on their own, not to eat Gidan Asher because of this. And after Matan Torah, then it's a din. Adayim Azeh means that the minig was up until Matan Torah, and after Matan Torah it's a real bit. Nunu. There it was. It doesn't say in the Gemara anywhere such an idea that Gidan Asher should be Mutar in Matan Mashiach. So the Pasuk says that when Yankif noticed that Esau was on his way, so he arranged his family in such a way that in case Esav kills the first ones that he meets, the second group should survive, and then the Slevi Ladachrenim, Akron Akron Chavi, Rashi says, in case he succeeds in killing even the second group, the third group should remain alive. The Tesis Yontif, in his commentary on Mishnah, in one place, I think in Mai, writes that in Apikoris, he asks him, why do we always pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should rebuild the Beit HaMikdash? Whenever we daven Musaf, we ask for the Gosh to rebuild the third Beit HaMikdash. If the Navi said explicitly that the second Beit HaMikdash is the last one, the Navi in Chagai said, Don't we acquire a Beit HaZeh HaAchra Min HaRishon. that we refer to the second Beis Hamikdash that they were building. Chagas Hamalachi with the three Nevi'im who were supervising the building of the second Beis Hamikdash. They refer, the Navi refers to the Nevuah. So that Beis Hamikdash is the Beis HaAchron. So that's it. It is no more Beis Hamikdash. But it says he's going to tell him that you see that in biblical Hebrew, in Tanakh, the word Akron doesn't necessarily mean the last. That's modern Hebrew. In Tanakh, the word Akron means the latter. It sometimes means the last, and it sometimes means the latter. Like it says in the Bible, Yosem es Hashrachas Yisrael. There's Yaldehen Rishona, there's Leah of Yiladeho Akronim, there's Rachel es Yosef Acharonim. So he says, they were Acharonim, then it says, there's another one Acharonim. So it means, Acharonim means after. So Godliya Kvoda Bais HaZeh HaAchron HaRishon means that the second Beis HaMikdash will be greater in glory than the first, but then that's only that the final, the word Achron doesn't mean the final thing. That's the one pasuk that he quotes. And he quotes the pasuk from the beginning of Chumash Shmos when Moshe Rabbeinu is given the Osos. He says to Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Para won't believe me, and I'll say and he still won't believe me when I'll say that I was sent to Shlichus HaShalmach. So the Baruch Hashem gives him an oath. What were the two oaths again? The Saras and then the Matzah turning into a snake, and then he says, V'lo yamina l'kol ha'osar rishon, amina l'kol ha'osar acharon. Then it says, V'lo yamina l'kol ha'osar acharon, then v'lo kachto, that you should take the water and convert it into dam. That's called the Osa Akron, and then it says there's another Osa after that. If Akron means the last, the final, so how come there's another Osa? You see that the word Akron and Tanakh doesn't necessarily mean that. Those are the two rights that the Tosfos Yontif brought. That the word Akron in biblical Hebrew doesn't necessarily mean last, not the same as in common usage today. That's what the Visionary Rebbe added on to the comment that the Tosfos Yontif, the Hoya Adam Lachem Lios Al Abad, says when they were Zerik the Dam, Pesach Mitzrayim, so they put the Dam on the Batim, so the Rav Hashem Lingof is the Purim, and the Purim died at Chatzoy. And they'll test that, so the Dam was Lios Al Abad. So the vision is said, the Hoya Adam Lachem Lios Al Abad goes on the Batim Mikdosh, the Dam, that was the third oath. The first oath was about the snake, and the second oath was about the Saras, and the third oath was on the dam. That pasuk is a hechacha on the bottom of the bottom mikdashes, so there's going to be a third Beis Hamikdash. The word Akron, that's the Tosfos Yontif's proof, that the word Akron doesn't necessarily mean Leah. It's a famous word from the visionary. Rashi comments on the pasuk when they finally met, Yankov and Esav met. Yankov was so petrified, so he's going to kill him and he's dividing everybody up. And then the lovey dovey, all of a sudden, comes and he kisses him and he hugs him and everything. So what's going on all of a sudden? Rashi quotes in the Medrash, Galgulu Rachmos, Esav had a lot of love for his brother Yankov on this occasion. Shura Egel Mishtach was Kodesh Tachoyes Alov. Somebody bowing seven times, he gave him so many matanas. He reminded himself of the brotherly love that he used to have with him, or whatever that he should have had. So how does the Medrash known as Galgul or Rachman Rashi Taki quote the Machloikin, whether it's really true or it's not true? So the one shot in the Medrash is that he really loved him and he kissed him and he really meant it. How did the Amoraim know that this is so? You find before when Yankov came, so it says when Bava met him, how did it say? Also hugging and kissing and everything, and Rashi quotes in the Medrash that he didn't mean it, and all of a sudden over here he did mean it. How do they know the lovin' didn't necessarily mean it? He was hugging him to see if he had any money in his back pocket, and he kissed him to see if he has any margolias in his mouth. How come they interpret over there everything negatively and here they interpret positively? Same thing, the same law. The Yitzchak, they both cry. They were both crying Ali B'Dem. Could be. Could be. So in the Sefer Ktava HaKabbalah, he claims, I don't know, you got to check this out in Tanakh. He claims that the key to the difference is that there it says Vayishak Lo. In two words. Vayichabik Lo, Vayinashik Lo. Here it says Vayishakehu, Vayichakehu in one word. He says when you have it combined in one word, that means that there's a connection between the person who's hugging and the person who's getting hugged, and the person who's kissing and the person who's getting kissed. That means that it's a real hug and a real kiss. When it says Vayishak Lo, Vayichabik Lo, gave him a hug. You can never tell what exactly it means. It just means that he gave him a hug. Could mean l'tzayvu, could mean l'ro. You have to check through Tanakh, see. That's what he suggests. So Esav turns down the gift. He says, Yesh li rav, I have everything. Yiloch ha-shaloch. Yankiv insists, no. Yalkin risi panech kiros panei Elohim v'atir tzeini. What exactly does that mean? So the Medrash has a strange comment. I don't know what to make of it. The Medrash has this comment, and a few Rishonim quote this on Chumash without explaining what it means. They just quote it. That when you're oila regel, liras panei Elohim, there's a din of lo yiro panei rekom. You have to bring a matanah. So he says, when I see you, it's a din like aliyah, just like aliyah l'regel, you must give a gift. So that's why I must give the gift, so you have to accept it. I don't know what that means. He wrote panei Elohim b'atir tzeini, it's like rias panei Elohim, that you must give a matanah. Very strange love. Shaim already points out that Esav says Yesh li rov, and Yankov says Yesh li kol. Yesh li kol. Rashi on Pasuk Yudalev points it out. Bakol mikol kol. Yankov says Yesh li kol. What he has is a tzaddik wants to have a lot of money and a lot of property in order that he should do avodas Hashem. Whatever he has, that's what he needs. And the Rishoyim, they don't use their property for Avodas Hashem. So he uses a lot of Yesh li rov. He has loads and loads and tons. He just wants to accumulate more money. What does he do with the money? Yesh li mana rotzim tzayin, wants more money, wants more money. So that's the expression. He'll never say Yesh li kol. But he's satisfied with what he has. He'll always say Yesh li rov. Yankov says Yesh li kol. I have Exei Washir. Samech Bechokah, he has what he needs. And everything that he has, he uses in Avodas Hashem. So that's called Yesh li kol. In Europe, they used to make fun of the Mizrahi. They say, Yesh li rov. We also have a Vad Matzah out there. We have our own Rabbanim. So that's what Esav said. Yesh li rov. The modern Jews are not so didactic in mitzvahs. So when you confront them, they say, ah, it's against the din. They say, well, my rabbi says, Yesh li rov. I got my own rabbi. My rabbi says, it's Musa. That's the used to kibbutz in Europe. That's why it says, Yesh li rov. Esav used to tell the exactly was Yankov afraid of when he offered Nisa v'nei Lecha Elcha l'negdech, and he's afraid that they won't be able to keep up on Nesu kol atzom Hayilodim rakim hasan habakar olos aloi uskochim yom echod v'am Nesu kol atzom. If they can go one day, they'll make them go faster than a normal speed, he's afraid all the tzom will die. So the Pashut Shabbi, you understand? That was one of the, it could be the part of the office. Somebody writes it called Derech HaHalotzah. The Yankov was a Shem HaShabbos. He's not going to go for Tzum on Shabbos. And Esav is not permitted to be a Shem HaShabbos. He wants a Goy who's an observant of Shabbos. It's Chayv Nisa. So on Shabbos, Esav is going to go ahead with his men. He's going to keep on going. He's going back. He's not going to observe Shabbos. And Yankov is finally going to stay back. So on Sunday, they're going to have to go twice as fast in order to catch up with Esav and his men. So that's what he means. He's talking Yom Echad. Yom Echad means Sunday. It doesn't mean any one given day. He's on Sunday, they're going to have to run so fast, run twice as fast as on a normal day. He's afraid from me to fall out song. Rashi comes on the pasuk Vayova Yaakov Shalem Yerushchem Shalem Begufay Shalem Bemamaynai Shalem Bisay Rosay. The Rashbam has a comment on this pasuk, and he writes, Rashbam is Rashi's grandson, so he writes that whoever interprets Shalem Shalem Bisay Rosay and Shalem Bemamaynai is Eino Elotayim. When we now say Rashi didn't make it up, Micha, you say, and your grandfather made a mistake. Rashi's quoting from the Gemara. It's not even a matter, it's a Gemara. But that's why some Gedolim don't believe that the Rashbam wrote that. The Rashbam is Gemara. There are a lot of things that seem to have been put into the Rashbam, the Ibn Ezra. There are a lot of things that are found word for word in other Rishonim. It was a practice that in a certain period that Mefarshim would just copy from each other with, and it wasn't considered plagiarizing. That was a standard procedure. It was understood that he's copying from others, like the Sforno is a likut of other Rishonim. He doesn't have so much original. I don't know if he has any original, I don't know. And it wasn't considered plagiarism because that's he told everybody in advance that he's making a likut, so he didn't feel it necessary to say where every line is coming from. Well, the Ramban a lot of times is quoting from the Ravid and he doesn't say it. Apparently it was well known. Everybody knew the Ravid, so whenever he liked what the Ravid said, so he would incorporate a chunk from the Ravid in his Pirush on Chumash and his Pirush on the Gemara and so on. But you have sometimes strange things in the Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam and others, the Cheskuni. So this is one of the Rashbams that they think must have been written by somebody else. Vayichan Aspneihu Ir. Gemara has a comment on Vayichan Aspneihu Ir that he was very involved in communal activities. One interpretation in the Gemara is the Torah's name, of course, is Mechatzois Tikkun Lahem. Another temptation is Madbea Tikkun Lahem. Another temptation is Shvokin Tikkun Lahem. He was improving the city by making a coin system, or by improving the highways or the streets, or by improving the bathhouses and so on. He was very involved in everything. He was a worldly person. He wasn't just sitting in his own Dalai Lama. He was just sitting and learning Torah. It had nothing to do with anybody else. He's very involved in the world. Very involved in the outside world. See, the people who sit and they learn in Yeshiva, Shiv to Dereit Hashem, Koy Mechaya, those who plan to learn in the Kerala, the Rebbe, for the rest of their lives, they don't have to be machna so much. They're in the Dalai Lama Shel Halacha, they don't have to worry so much. Those people are going out into the outside world, they have to be a little more machna than those who stay in Yeshiva, because they're confronted with Goyim, with not observing Jews, so they have to have more Siyogin and more Hachokas and more Gedor. So that's why you have later on, Ramban interprets the pasuk. When he came to, when they were about to enter Eretz Yisrael, the Yankid gives instructions to his family, Hatsiras alhei hanecha shebesechem vitaharu, v'achalichu sim lasechem en akumu v'nala beisel. Everybody puts together all their desires, v'yitnu al Yaakov v'skol alhei hanecha shebiyodim v'tanizom shebiyodnem, v'yitnu alhechem Yaakov tachas ha'elo, Asherim Shem, he buried them. So the Ramban is bothered with Akasha. If you have Avodah Zorah, there's a mitzvah for Avodah Zorah. You have to destroy it. He destroyed the Asherim Tisur from Boish. A Tigadeon, you have to chop it down. You have to burn it. You have to grind it up. You have to shirk it. You have to destroy it just to take it and bury it. Is that sufficient? Ramban asks, that's not enough. So he says, the answer is, if you have an Avodah Zorah that was not Nisbatil, it was worshipped by Goy, by Jew, whatever, and it was not Nisbatel, nobody was Mavatlet yet, so then the din is, you have to destroy it. But if you have an Avodah Zorah, and before a Jew acquired ownership of it, a non-Jew was Mavatlet, then it's Mutabano, so you can really keep it, strictly speaking. So the Ramban says, he imagined, he's filling in all background over here, he imagines that Yankov and his children certainly did not pick up any of these Avodah Zorahs, and Tatei HaMecha or Shevi Odom, they didn't pick it up from the Goyim until they saw it was that a Goy would be Mavatli Avodah Zorah, and also should be Mutabano. Wouldn't be none of the story. And nonetheless, now that he's coming back to Eretz Yisrael, the din of Avodah Zorah is more common in Eretz Yisrael than it is in Chutzlah. The din of worshipping Avodah Zorah is the same. Eretz on Chutzlah, but the din of Biur Avodah Zorah, destroying Avodah Zorah, are more common in Eretz Yisrael than they are in Chutzlah. It's part of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael doesn't just mean that it should be in Jewish control and the Jews should live there and we should all live there. Means that there shouldn't be any churches. You have to be invited if you have the ability to. You have to be invited. All the others is up. You go bomb the mosque and the Har Bais. You have the Third World War. So if you don't have it, so it's not. We're not mukhif to go bomb the mosque and then be moist and nefesh. So the din is whenever it's biyadai, whenever you have the ability to, so in Eretz Yisrael you have to destroy all the avodah zarah. So chutzlo it's a little less. The Gemara says in Eretz Yisrael abeiti abdun. It's a kepo lashon. Chutzlo it's not abeiti abdun. It's less. So here, because the Yaakov Avinu was about to enter Eretz Yisrael, that's what Hashem tells him. Kum alei beisel deshev sham hasei sham izdel. Go move back to Eretz Yisrael. So as he's about to enter Eretz Yisrael, so he wants to be mivarei the avodah zarah. So what avodah zarah? So the Ramban says these avodah zarahs were already in his batlu. He doesn't believe that the children of Yaakov Avinu would have taken them if they wouldn't have had enough to be mivarei in advance before they took it. And nonetheless, he was machmer alas mahoya. He felt it's time to be machmer. Even these, he should get rid of them. That's why he didn't destroy them. He didn't grind them up. He didn't burn them. He just from Yaakov Hashem. He buried them. He buried them under a tree. Could be some rishonim suggest that maybe this Eloh was also a tree of avodah zarah. He buried them. So what was he so machmer for? So that's an important notion. And when people are in the outside world, like Yaakov Avinu was very much in the outside world. He wasn't. He didn't stay to himself. That's why he had Tzoras with his daughter. She was attacked by the guy. If she would have stayed home, she wouldn't have been attacked by the guy. But they say Bina. So the such people who are dealing in the outside world have to make a lot of Tziogim and Harkokas and Gidorim for themselves. Say Tziog L'Teiro is for each individual person. Each person individually. And the Sur Sashan says that we shouldn't think that whatever is necessary as a siyog was already instituted by the Chachmei HaMishnah, by the Chachmei HaTalmud, by the Shulchan Aruch. Whatever doesn't say the Shulchan Aruch that it's also is mutter. He says not necessarily so. If you are in a situation, if you're in a very difficult situation, you're dealing with goyim all the time, so you have to have more hachokas than someone else is not. But it says in the Gemara that the Dola Shavu Lachol Nefesh, that everybody's required to observe those hachokas, even if you're sitting in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And you're not dealing with anybody, and you have so much Yirah Shemayim, and you only deal with great tzaddikim, still the hakokas that are mentioned in the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch are shavu to everybody. But each person who realizes that he's in a foreign atmosphere with negative influences has to introduce hakokas himself. He has to figure out what hakokas are reasonable, what hakokas are unreasonable. That's why you find that Yankin is making more hakokas. Why did he buy it? So the Sforno has a we don't accept that opinion of Allah, but still you see what the idea behind it is, that Shlama Kedusha Saris is when the Eretz is owned by Jews, when it's owned by Goyim is not, when it's owned by Jews and it's inhabited by Jews. But that's why Yaakov Avinu felt that this is a Hashiv, it's not something to live in that section, but he bought that section by Yikan. He bought it that it should belong to him, it should be Yad Yisrael to model the level of the Kedusha, that it should have more Hashiv. Vayatav Sham Mizbech, Vayikra Lo Kel Elokei Yisrael. She always has trouble with these two. What do you mean? He made a Mizbech and he called the name of the Mizbech Kel Elokei Yisrael. The Pashab Shah. Gemara has a Medrash, Vayikra Lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called him Kel Elokei Yisrael. Vayikra Lo Kel Elokei Yisrael called Yaakov Kel. Vayikra Lo Kel Elokei Yisrael. Vayikra Lo Kel Kama Elokei Yisrael. Rashi is going off in Pshuta. How do you translate Pshuta Shamikra? Yikra Lo, and Yaakov called the name of the Mizbeach, Kael Elokei Yisrael. It doesn't make sense. And Rashi gives a whole interpretation. It's very tight. So in Sefer Ksav HaKabbalah, he quotes from some Rishonim who interpret, I think quotes from Abarbano, if I'm not mistaken. Yikra Lo is Miloshin Mikra. Miloshin Mikra. Ulai Yikore Ko. It says by Bilom, maybe you'll have a Hashra Tashkura. Vayikra Lo Kel Elokei Yisrael. He made a Mizbeach, and after he built the Mizbeach, Hashem appeared to him. He had an occurrence, he had an event, namely, a Mikra occurred that the Shechina appeared to him in the schus of building the Mizbeach. Vayikra Lo Kel Elokei Yisrael.
It's a similar pasuk later also that he interprets like that. Also by a mizbeach. But we have it by Yisrael also in the beginning of Shmos. That's what he quotes. Beginning of Shmos, it says when Bnei Yisrael want to leave Eretz Mitzrayim in order to have a Gimish king with the Redemption, so the Losh is used there too. Rashi on the Parshas Bilam says it's Loshon Keri. Loshon Kuman Keri is the Loshon Gnai. But sometimes you have it with the Aleph at the end. With the Aleph at the end. Like by Yikra Lom. Or for Hay at the end. Doesn't have an Allah for Hay at the end, then Rashi quotes Medrash that the Loshon Keri, Loshon Tumen, and it's Miyuchad only for the Yuvasa. You have the beginning of Shmos and a more proper Loshon like over here. Batete Dina Batlei Asher Yovel LeYanker. There's a famous comment that the Shaloh has on this passage. Shaloh has a section in the second Chelek of the Shaloh where he has a running commentary on Chumash. This is a famous comment that apparently a lot of Gedolim forgot where they had seen it, so they all write it. A few people wrote it in their own sword, but that credit in Shalom. He has the comment. What is it? I take the Dina Bas Leia. Rashi has the comment why he says Bas Leia. She was a Yatsana, so she was a Yatsana. So the Shalom has a comment that apparently she was a tomboy. Because why was that so? Because originally she was a boy. The Medrash says that originally she was a boy, and then because Leah was mifalel, so she made a nest. The Gemara has like that also. She made a nest. Ayideh hatfilah. She was changed from a boy to a girl, but she still had the tchunas of a boy. So that's how she got in. That's how she got in trouble. In Bateit Zedina, Bas Leah, because she was a yatsan, is like a boy. She used to act a little like a boy. Rambam has a long discussion on this passage by Yishlach, the machlokes with the Rambam. Why did they have the right to kill? We assume that they did right. Yankel Avinu didn't say that they were murderers, his children, when they wiped out the whole city Shem. He said that you have to use your brains. You don't bomb the mosque today. You wait when Mashiach comes, don't bomb the mosque on the Habad. You don't do it when there's Takonis Nefashis. They got angry at them, Mishukoyim. What do they have to make the Kanois now for? It? They didn't get angry that they violated Shvichas Damit. Why not? So the Rambam writes in the Sefer and Hilchos Melachim at the end of the Yarech HaZokeh. This is one of the Sheva Mitzvahs in the Erech HaZdinim. Dinim means Lahamid Batei Dinim B'chol Flach U'Flach, and to see to it that they know you have an obligation to see to it that Mishpat is taken care of. So all the people in the city see that the man Shechem attacks a girl, and nothing happens. They let him get away with it. So that's scandalous. No one brings him to Mishpat. No one tries to detaveh him to court. So they're all in violation of this mitzvah that they have seen him. So that's why they deserve the Noinish Mishpat. Ramban disagrees and he says no. The Gemara says as the Rosh Mizui Misosim that the Bnei Noach Achayv Mishpat any violation of any Avera that they do, and that means that they violate an Avera, but not if they fail to fulfill a mitzvah that they. If they would, let's say, if they do Gneiva, the Gemara says the Bnei Noach is never going to profit from Sharekut. Violate the Shvichas Damim, of course, that it is originally a right. If he violates something, but if he fails to fulfill a mitzvah, the Ramban HaChumash thinks that he cannot say that he's nereg on that. And the Rambam insists that it's not so. The Rambam has it in another place. He says, all of Bnei Ketura, Achayiv in Milo, Rashi on the Gemara says, Bnei Ketura, Achayiv in Milo, only those original, the six of the eight Ketura, the original children that the Rambam Avinu had from the Pilagish Ketura. But their descendants today, Benach HaBen, or whatever, they're not Chayv and Milo. And the Rambam says, no, all of Bnei Ketura Bizman is there, all of Benach HaBen, Bnei Ketura, are Chayv and Milo, except the Rambam, and now we don't know who's Bnei Ketura, who's not, so the Rambam says, all Bnei Noach have to be Mal themselves. Maybe they're the lucky ones, maybe they're the Bnei Ketura, and you don't say, you got Basar, right? There's so many millions of goyim in the world say that they're bottle beroy. So the Rambam says, you don't say bitter beroy, you don't say asdina basaruza. But if a goy doesn't want to be mal himself, you can't give him an einish misa because topic nefashis law. But if you attack and know that he's the next tour and he's not mal himself, so the Rambam, if he tossed the holds that he would be chayv misa. Even he didn't do anything, he didn't do another there, but only I said. Just that he failed to fulfill the mitzvah the mitzvah mila that mutelotah l'fishit is a Rambam. So the Rambam holds that there's an einish mitzvah not only on azaros, usually azhorah, einoch v'mekeim asirin. So the term azhorah mila means a violation the kum v'yaseh. And azhorah means a lav, a violation. That's tam atidu asir. That's the Ramban's fine against the Rambam. So the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. He says that's not why they killed out the whole city Shechem. So why they killed him? He says, what, you need a reason why they killed him? But they were all the Avodah Zarah, they were all the Gali Arayah, they were all Gazlanim. They violated everything on the books. They violated all the Shevim Mitzvot. It's the only thing that they had against them was what they violated the Dinim. They didn't have a court system, they didn't have a legal system. Yeah, they all worshiped, they all went to church every day. He says, of course they're Chayiv Mitzvot. Why did they do the church? Why on this occasion? Yeah, why on this occasion? So why don't they go around killing all the goyim who were of the Avodah Zarah? So Ramban deals with that a little bit. Some of the Rishonim comments, I think the Ksav HaKabbalah quotes is also from it, if I'm not mistaken, from the Abarbanel. Why does it say, V'yakab shama ki tine is dina bito? One of Hoyer's examples, so the Hechrish Yaakov ad Boam. Why did he wait? Why did he send a message to the children that they should come and tell him what happened right away? Why did he wait for such a casual day? Day like every day, his daughter was just attacked, and when the children come home, they'll tell him over supper. Tell him over supper what happened, just like that. So the Abarbanel says he was afraid that they would overreact. A person always has to be careful not to overreact. As it is, he felt that they were overreacting. But they went and they wiped out the whole city. But he was afraid that he could tell him he would go mopstick in the middle of the day and call them all in for a special emergency meeting, and they would go and destroy the whole country. Sometimes when people overreact, so they have negative accomplishments. Why do they say that they want them to have a bris milah? It means that they want them to convert. The pashut pshat. So all these people convert, then they go and they kill everybody. Like Tzofen, what's going on? They killed the whole city of Judah. So the Mepharshim, the Rishonim already say that the children of Yaakov felt that their conversion was not an honest one, that the Geirus was not an honest one. But the Gemara says, is it Machlekes HaTanaim in Yevamos Daf Chav Dalet, what if Lechatchila Bezen Shenat Mekabel Geir, if he's only Mizgayer because he wants to marry a girl, or he wants to get a job in the Israeli government or whatever, he's converting for some ulterior purpose, he's not really converting L'Shem Shamayim. But did he ever be tasking? Did he ever the Geirus is Chal? So what do they do over here? Why do they kill everybody else? So the answer is no, but he ever the Geirus is Chal, if at least there's a Kabbalah on mitzvah. But there's no Kabbalah on mitzvah at all. The whole thing is just superficial. The whole thing is just for fun. They just go through the motions of doing a bris milah, and they go into the mikveh and that's all. So that's a Geirus Shaloi Kalo. There's no Kabbalah on mitzvah makibidi ever. But that's what they felt over here, that they were going Gemurim just like they were before, nothing changed. They felt they had a right and an obligation to give up.
They never really told them about Kabbalah.
That's the question. The Rishonim assumed that they did tell him, and that they never accepted. That they said you have to be Mao. There weren't so many mitzvahs at that time. They were very few mitzvahs. Achdus Hashem. There weren't so many. Lila. It wasn't so much. But even those, they weren't prepared to observe. It's interesting, the Rishonim points out a lashon that it says that all of the people in the city went along, kol yotei shariro. Vayishmu achamov ha-shchem benon kol yotei shariro. Vayimolo kol zoch kol yotei shariro. How come over here it says kol yotei shariro, and there by Avram Avinu, beginning of Chai Sora, it says that they buried her kol boi shariro. The Avram Mikl Enim Nechet Kol Boi Shariro. How come here it's Yotze and there it's Boi? So the Rishonim have this comment. The Bali Atesis and other sets. I thought it's like a Chassidish birth. They say that there everybody respected Avram and Sarah, and everybody came to the funeral. Everybody was coming in. And here they didn't want to become Jewish. So as many people as could were running away from the city. That's why it says Kol Yotze Shariro. That the overwhelming majority of the people were running away. They didn't go along with this idea. Those who were stuck in the city, so they became Jewish. So the Gemara has a comment in Masech HaShabbos that from this pasuk you see that either even on the third day or dafka on the third day, there's a sakana. After the Brit Mila, there's a sakana snapash. It's not necessarily a riding. Why isn't it a ride mura? Then on the third day there's a sakana, because it could be that here they were adults. Maybe when you're being mala, little baby, maybe there's no sakana. Maybe it's only kovim when it's an adult. A kovim in one, apopishen ride a dove, zechel a dove, that it's done. That's how many Rishonim say. And others interpret that it doesn't mean that the Yosam Koavim, that they were in pain from the Bris Mila, and that you see from here, at least by an adult, that there is a Sakana, that there's a lot of cave on the third day. Others interpret Al Pipshuta Shalmika Rishonim say Pshat. A few Rishonim say Pshat. The Yosam Koavim means that they were, they had pains in them, not, they didn't have pain from the operation. They changed their minds. And they were very pained over their mistaken decision to become Jewish. They had charata why they decided to convert. The Yosem called him that they had heartache. That they had heartache.
Why third day?
I think the Rishonim say, they said, okay, we're going to convert, we'll become Jewish, and we'll join Yankiv and his family. And then they saw what the reaction was of the surrounding nations who were living in Eretz Yisrael. There were different nations there. We saw that it was very negative, that everybody was opposed to, everybody was against being Jewish. So then after 2 days of seeing reactions, they had charata, they changed their mind. The Yosam Koavim. Question of Pirush Amir. How do you translate the Yosam Koavim? The pain was from the Bris Mila? Or not at all. It's not a riot at all, because it has nothing to do. The cave had nothing to do with the Bris Mila. The cave was they changed their minds about their decision. Yaakov kum alei beisel v'shev sham. Vasei sham nizbeach. The strange expression, the shev sham. The Ramban and the other Rishonim find it very striking. What does that mean? It tells him, go back to Eretz Yisrael. What happens with shev sham? Obviously the shev sham. Go back to Eretz Yisrael and live there. Let me just to visit and then go back. Visit Eretz Yisrael. The Rabbanu Shalom told him a long time back in Vayetze, go back to Eretz Yisrael. Now he nudges them again. Then go back to Eretz Yisrael. What are you waiting for? So the Sforno has a comment that people will point out. The Shev Sham Asay Sham is death, but the Hasidim HaRishonim HaYishonim Shorachas Chodim Tbilosim. It's not right that a person works and then he goes and Minyan to Minchas. It's talk wonderful, he doesn't miss Minchas. And he goes to a Minyan and doesn't just daven the Yechidus. But then he rushes into the room and they're already in the middle of Ashrei, and then he starts saying Ashrei, he runs to the Shmon Esrei. Let's say we finish learning and then right away we say a second after we're learning, so we daven right away Minchas. You have to have a little hachana in it. You have to have shev sham. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov Avinu when you build the Mizbeach also. Don't just travel to Beis Eil and right away make a Mizbeach. Have a little hachana before you make a Mizbeach. Shev sham. Relax for a while. And then build your Mizbeach. Have the proper hachana before you build a Mizbeach. Avodas Hashem should always be done with hachana in advance. But many pointed out, many people pointed out that we have, in our generation, we have Shmirah Shabbos, but we don't have so much the Erev Shabbos. People work on Erev Shabbos till the last minute. People work till the last minute, so they don't have any Hakonis for Shabbos. As important as it is to be a Shem Shabbos, it's also important to have Hakonis for Erev Shabbos. Hakonis for every Dovah should be Kedusha. And this Kasha that we mentioned from the Ramban, why did he just bury the Avodah Zarah in the ground, doesn't the din require that you have to destroy the Avodah Zarah? So that's what led the Ramban to reconstruct the whole story, that he's positive that the children of Yankov certainly got a goy to be mevatel Avodah Zarah before they picked it up, and then when they picked it up it was mutabanur, it was only a churm, it was only a minute chassidus. Others disagree with the Ramban, they say that he made a mistake. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Masechet Avodah Zarah, Zayin Shu and Sukkah, and things like that. He says that Avodah Zarah shall Yisrael is Tom Geniza. The Gemara learns that in the Pasuk with Tom Basosa. The Tom Basosa means is, if you have Avodah Zarah Shal Yisrael, there's no mitzvah to destroy. Avodah Zarah that belongs to a goy, that's a mitzvah to destroy. Asher Rehem to circumvention and so on. And Avodah Zarah Shal Yisrael, the Gemara says, is Tom Geniza. So that's what he did. It's Hafez Oelo, Shem Shem. question, what does that mean? The Yeshua's Taina is left the Taina? What do you mean? Avodah Zarah shall Yisrael. Avodah Zarah is something that the Jew worships. Today, Yankim didn't worship Avodah Zarah. Most what may have happened was that Avodah Zarah shall Yisrael. Avodah Zarah shall Akum Shazacha Boha Yisrael. That plays a role. Avodah Zarah shall Nachri. Avodah Zarah shall Avodah Nachri. Zacha Boha Yisrael. The Jew picked it up in the Taina. But the din is that it has no longer any people. The whole din of people of Avodah Zarah, you can, if you get a goy to declare, let's say if a goy worships something, so if you can get either the same goy or another goy, it doesn't matter to declare that I don't believe in that. The other goy still holds. Let's say this goy believes in a different Avodah Zarah. Says, I don't believe that this Avodah Zarah, I believe that is. It doesn't matter what he says. As long as let's say he never believed that this was Avodah Zarah. Fine. Get him to declare, I don't believe that this is Avodah Zarah. So the thing becomes mutabana. That's only if it was number one worshipped by a non-Jew. If it was worshipped by a Jew, has no bitul. Or even if it was worshipped by a non-Jew, and a Jew already picked it up, and it was Ezebo, Kim Shabbat, Yag Yisrael, so then the Gemara says also there's no bitul. Ain't no bitul at all. So that concept of it is always Shel Yisrael, with respect to the inability to be Mevatel, there are two kinds. Either Avodah Zarah Shel of the Yisrael, or Avodah Zarah Shel Akum Bereshusa Yisrael. But here with respect to this din, that Avodah Zarah Shel Yisrael Tong Gneze, the Chor that only applies to Avodah Zarah Shel of the Yisrael. That's not what it was over here. They didn't worship these Avodah Zarah. When they wiped out the whole city, Shechem, so they took Bo'al HaChalolim, they took everything that they could. They took the Tzonam, the Sukaram, the Sanereim, the Spalchelim, the Spaltapam, the Shem, they took everything, they took the Avodah Zarah also. The young Rebbeinu said, throw out the Avodah Zarah. So they're talking about Avodah Zarah Shalakum. That's the Kasher Ramban. Avodah Zarah Shalakum is stone Ibid Men Oilam. The stone Sreipa, the stone Gidua. You have to break it, you have to chop it. If you should assume that they observed these dinim kodem out in Teretz, that was the Ramban's kasha. It's questionable whether the Yeshua's Teretz is right. The Pashta says that he's not right. That's not called Avodah Zarah Shel Yisrael. Vayitnu al Yaakov es kol alahei hanecha asher biyodem es hanezomim asher biozneihem. How do you translate asher biozneihem? That's what I think the Cheskuni says, biozneihem shel ho'elili. The nizamim that were tachshiti avodah zarah became osabanra. Doesn't mean that they were wearing them. They had the nizamim in their pockets, in their hands, or in a sack. But those nizamim that were tachshiti avodah zarah, so he got rid of them. Then the pasuk says he built another mizbeach. But even shem mizbeach v'ikol amokim, v'yikro la'amokim kel beisel. Also, Vayikra La Mokim, also a strange pasuk. Vayikra La Mokim, Kale Basin. Rashi again has his pshat. Gave a name, and the people would allude to that. It's so difficult pshat. He also the Baba Kabbalah says, Vayikra La Mokim, that Kale Basin, the Rabbanu Shalom of Basin, appeared to Yankov Avinu. Vayikra La Shemikres. Again, it doesn't mean that Yankov Kora La Mokim. The Shechina, Kel Beisel, was Nikra Lamokam Ahu, he appeared to Yankov Avinu. I'll point out that it says that he made him his death, doesn't say he brought Karbonis on him. I don't exactly see the significance of that. It says a lot of times they made him his death, doesn't say they brought Karbonis. Either it means it's assumed or he never brought Karbonis. But the Panam Yochas, I think, stops the honey. It says that he made his zech and it failed to mention that he brought Karbanis. And the answer is because it was in Avelis. Because it says in the next pasuk, Alom Bachus, that they just told him that his mother died. His mother died, he had observed Shiva. The Gemara says that a person who is in Avelis is not permitted to be Mishalech Karbanis. But I don't see exactly. He says because the two psukim are one next to the other. Perek Lamehei, Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk Ches. He says that's why in Pasuk Zayin it says he made him his zeach and he didn't have a chance to bring Karbanis until he found out that his mother died. Zohar has a comment on the pasuk. The Achrenim quotes in the Zohar. He betzeis nafsho ki meisa. Atikra shmo ben oni v'yom kol lo binyamin. The Rishonim have this also. The quote of Rabbi Yudah Chassid has this, and others have this comment. What does it mean? The taste nafshi ki meso. It's redundant. It's a repetition. Yitzias neshama is miso. So they say, the way they describe in Yerida, that sometimes a person's neshama leaves, is in the process of leaving, and then it comes back. Neshama comes back. When people are about to die, so the pasuk has to say twice, the taste nafshi, and then ki meso. She died after this. There was a tears neshama, her neshama kept on leaving, coming back, till finally she died. The big problem, how do you determine when is a tears neshama? Because Rivka made a comment, Lama eshkal kam shnechem yoyim echot. He said that they're both going to die on the same day. Rashi quotes that that's what it says in the Medrash, that it was true. Yankov and Esau died on the same day. How did Yankov and Esau die on the same day? So Rashi later quotes the Medrash that Yankov died in Eretz Mitzrayim, and his children took his body back to Eretz Yisrael. When they came to Hebron, to the Baris Machpelah, Esau started giving him a hard time, and he said it belongs to me. And they said we bought it, and back and forth. And he said show me the shtar. So they sent somebody to Eretz Mitzrayim to run. Naftali, no, who?
Kushan
to run back to Eretz Yisrael to get the shtar. Who? Naftali ran, and then there was one of the grandchildren was hard of hearing, and he said he didn't hear what's going on. Kushan, he said, what's going on over here? What's taking so long? Why don't they bury the grandfather? They said that the uncle is giving a hard time, so he went and he knocked his head off. They killed him. So that's why it says that they both died on the same day. They didn't both die on the same day. If he died in Eretz Yisrael and they're standing by the Beit HaKvaris, by the Maris HaMachpelah Hebron, and then he knocks off his uncle's head, but didn't die the same day. So the Pasuk Shaka was buried on the same day. Alright, close. So others said, some say no. That they thought that Yankov had died, but he didn't really die. When did he really die? That day. So how was that? You have a guy laying dead, and he's not really dead. They thought they were seeing Shaman, it wasn't really. Till that same day, and they chopped off Esau's head, that's the day that he died. That's a big problem. How do you determine when is the shot to see his neshama? Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes like that. Let's say a person had an open heart surgery. Let's say they gave him someone else's heart. They replaced his heart with someone else's heart. That's the time that they take out the person's heart. Some poskim might say that the fellow's considered dead. If he's dead, and then you put in the other heart, is that called a hames after tchias hamesim? It's potim in hamitzvahs. The Gemara says mesim chavshim. What does it mean mesim chavshim? Potim in hamitzvahs. While he's dead, avad is potim in hamitzvahs. Means even after tchias hamesim, is still potim in hamitzvahs. The poshim shat in the Gemara. So let's say such a person, even after tchias hamesim, is also potim in hamitzvahs. So Shlomo is on the Rav Frank. He thinks that it's a double poshim that it's not so. That it's like over here. It says nafshi ki meisa, there was a slight yitzias neshama, but then it's a hemshah. Then later on it came back. When a person is dead and buried, and then you bring him back from the dead, so that's taka meisim chavsh, then he's taka fatam anami. But there was a temporary hafstaka of his of the functioning of the body, and then you brought him back, but then he assumes that that's considered a hemshah of the original chiyas that was there from before. The Mishnah says in Megillah that when you're laying Kriyas HaTorah, you have to have a Meturgamon, saying over the Targumotlis, except for certain sections when the Meturgamon does not do anything. So one of them is the Parshas Reuven. The Maisi Reuven is Nikro V'loi Mitargim. And the Baal Kori lays it, and the Meturgamon doesn't say the Targum. Why not? So the Pashab Shat, the Velfman Pashab Shat, because the Hamayin Am and the Shul didn't always understand the Pashim Shat and the Pashim, so they only understood it when they say the Aramaic. The people didn't know Hebrew, they only knew Aramaic. So why should they know that Reuben did an Avir? So we don't have to translate everything. And others say otherwise. They quote Rav Shul like Diskin and others from the whole the popular notion by the Gdolim from the last 100 years. So they all come to the same idea. But the Gemara has a comment by Elach Ruben Yishkev and Zilah Pilegeshav that it doesn't mean what it says in the Pasuk. Rashi quotes from the Gemara as Bilbil Yitzue Yavim. But with such a chutzpah on his part, so the Pasuk writes, Gila by Yishkev and Zilah Pilegeshav, as if he did Mamish Gilei Arayim. So if you read the Pasuk, so there's room to read like that. But if you read the Targum Mamish translates the Pasuk Kitzurasa. There's no way out of the Targum. So that's why the Mishnah recommends that you shouldn't read the Targum on this Pasuk. So the tradition has it that that's not what happened, the way the Targum writes. But it's not true that he was Vayishkav and Zidil Pidag Yishav. Vayelach Reuven, he went. Vayishkav Yaakov is Zidil Pidag Yishav. Vayishkav doesn't go on Reuven, it goes on Yaakov. But the Targum Mukhman is right, Vayishkav Reuven is Pidag Yishav. And then the Pasuk continues, Vayihu ben Yaakov Shnei Masa. The same Pasuk, Vayihu ben Yaakov Shnei Masa. So one of the Balei HaTesis writes, what does that mean? The Pasuk says in, I think in Divrei HaYomim, Rashi quotes that from the Pasuk in Divrei HaYomim, that because of the Chet of Reuven, he lost his Tishnayim. So if not for this Pasuk, there would have been Vayihu ben Yaakov Shlosha Asa. Reuven would have gotten a Tishnayim, and the others would have gotten one Chet. But because Vayelach Reuven by Yishkav is Bilo Pileg Yishavim, that's why it's Vayu B'nei Reuven, Vayu B'nei Akim Shneimot. He lost his Tishnah. Rashi quotes a different comment from why this is all in one Pasuk. The Lamda Shekulam Tzadikim, Kulam Shavim, Kulam Shaloi Chata Reuven, you shouldn't think that he sinned. That these are the Shiftei Torah. This is a very interesting comment what the Chazal have over here. That Rav Soloveitchik used to be very fond of speaking about this issue. At different, usually at Mizrahi conventions, on different occasions. When a person is an extremist, let's say the Durakarta people. I just met the fellow this morning, he gave me all of his literature, the speech that he gave in Madrid, the peace conference. He said he checked it out with his speech teacher, sent him a copy. So you have if a person is an extremist, we always know in advance what he's going to say, what he's going to do, and his children know, Lord, this is my father's sheep, there absolutely no sveikas to that. And Avraham Avinu was an extremist in the other direction, who was a Baal Chesed and Baal Chesed for Sdom and Baal Chesed for all the stray cats and the stray dogs and the Avdi Avidah Zorah and everybody under the sun is Makara, everybody, such a sweetie pie, such a doll. He can be the worst murderer in the world, he's going to be Mavakash Rachman Tafman. Everybody knows where he stands. And Yaakov Avinu is at the sublen, he's a Tiferet, he has a combination of Chesed and Gvura, and he does a lot of things that look contradictory. Peter Emes LeYaakov, Yaakov is supposed to be the Isha Emes. This Isha Emes is the man who fooled his brother, and then he fooled his father, and then he fooled his father-in-law, and then he left his father-in-law without telling him goodbye. Everything is contradicted. This holy tzad married two sisters. What's going on here? Everything by Yaakov Avinu is pilek blood. Everything is strange. So when the children are very young, they don't really understand what the father stands for. If the father would have been either Chesed or if the father would have been in a Turek Kartanek or something, we would know what he stands for. If the father obviously looks like he's wishy-washy and contradictory, then this causes big problems with the children. But that's what the Chachamim call Yaakov Avinu, he's the Pchir Shavavavit. The Pchir Shavavavit. From the Ovis, Avraham Yisrael Yaakov, he had the combination of all of the leaders together, that the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want us to be extremists. He wants us not to be centrist, whatever that means. He wants us to have a blend of all of these wonderful leaders of Elikus together. So it raises problems with the children. It raises tremendous problems. So that's why Yaakov Avinu had what the Gemara calls Targil Bonim. Rashi and Tosfos have a machlokes in Sanhedrin. Rashi says Targil Bonim is, you know, the babies have the chicken pox and the measles and it breaks the leg and you have to rush them to a hospital and appendicitis and everything. And Tosfos says, what are you talking about? That's Nachas Gidul Bonim. That's normal. Everybody has that. Tosfos says, no, Targil Bonim is only Yaakov Avinu has Targil Bonim. He had, the brothers told Yosef, that's normal, and Dina was attacked. Wild things were going on. He had the wildest things, that no one else has these kind of things going on in their family. Why did he have such wild things? Because he had all this blend of different nidois, and the children when they were young didn't understand. He thinks that his mevada, his mother. So Reuben goes ahead and he gives, he didn't stalk his father, he didn't punch his father in the nose. But he was Mavaza, his father, indirectly. He was Bilbil Yitzuyoviv, and he thought that his father was wrong. The children were judging their parents because they saw such glaring contradictions over here. And that's what the Pasuk concludes, that these were the Shiftei God, these were Kulam Tzadikim, and Yaakov Shvayiv, and Yaakov Shnei Masa, that with all the apparent contradictions, with all the trouble that he had, he was the Tzir Shabbat. And his children were Kulam Tzadikim, and everything's breaking out in the end. It's easier when you raise children to be an extremist because the children will know what you're driving at. It's very easy, but it's a false education. You're exaggerating things in one direction or the other. Even though you mean on the same shamayim, I have, let's say, a lot of my friends that they feel it's too difficult to raise children the same way their parents raised them. So they moved into Flatbush and Borough Park, and they let themselves grow beards. Fine, nothing wrong growing a beard. And they didn't send their children to college, and they themselves are big professors, and they hold it that absolutely nothing wrong with going to college. But they say, it's not going to send their kids to college. So now their kids don't hold from their parents. So they send their kids to Brisk, and they send everything, so send their kids to this yeshiva and that yeshiva. And the children don't respect their parents, because they become such extremists. And the parents felt, look, for the sake of education, we'll exaggerate a little bit. They exaggerated a little bit, and it was a false education. So the fishy taught them. The parents hold that they've given their children a false education. Education is very important. You have to give an honest education without exaggeration, without imitation. I mentioned, I think, Rabbi Gerelig, Zuchan Rauch, always used to, he was fond of mentioning the Ritvon, the first daf in Sukkah, where the Gemara says that for Chinuch Habanim, the children have to sit in a kosher sukkah. The Gemara says, you're not yet the Chinuch of the Pasul sukkah. Let's say a lulav and an estric. So you get the child a chinuch set, much less expensive for $10. Why should you spend $60 for the child? For $10, get a pasul of lulav and estric. That says in the ritvot that you're not allowed to. And if the kid doesn't know that this is a murkum, this is a built-in book, this is a vaday built-in book, the kid doesn't understand what it's all about. No. If you do chinuch in a full soifen, that's a pasul of chinuch. You're not allowed to exaggerate and you're not allowed to use imitations. The chinuch has to be the real thing. Yaakov Avinu did the real thing and he had a lot of trouble. Had a lot of tzar gidl banim, and he had the children who were rebuking him, and they were giving him mutzah, and there was a lot of machloikis among them, and so on. But these were they turned out okay. You really like him, shame up. In the end, it all turned out. He gave an honest chinuch, and he got an honest result. You have to be mispalel a lot also. You have to daven a lot also. The Chumash lists to a Taman Onet for the Gata Mitnai, five children. Then the next prophet says, the Timna Haithati Lekish Lavizis, that was Mrs. Elizabeth. Timna married Elizabeth. So Rishonim Aro bothered with the Kashi, he looked in Dira Yamim, it says Timna was the son of Eliphaz. What do you mean he married Eliphaz? What do you mean Eliphaz married Timna, was his wife? Dira Yamim says that was his son. So the Rashbam and the other Rishonim, a few Rishonim, the Cheskuni and a few other Rishonim quote Apsikta, a Medrash. We don't have, in our Medrash it says it differently. It's a different Girsa, very different. But they have a Medrash that says, there's a Psik, not in the Sefer Torah, but in the print of Chumash. A Psik means you have to pause a little bit. Why? That this word, the beginning of Pasik, this Perek Lamed Rav Pasik Yud Beis, this word Timna goes Le'el and Le'kamon, as if the word is written twice. Ayub ben Yael Eliphaz, Taiman Oimer Tzvah Begat Matnaz V'Simna, was the son of Eliphaz, and also V'Simna Ho'isofi Lekesh L'Eliphaz Ben Yisof. That was Mrs. Eliphaz's name, was also Timna. So the Rashbam and other Rishonim and Achronim give another five or six Tzukim in Tanakh, in Divayomim, and Bereishis, and some in Yeshua. Well, you have such a strange phenomenon that you have a word or two or three in the beginning of a pasuk, and it's kielu it were written twice. Kielu the word were written twice. You read the pasuk as if the word were written twice. Strange style of writing. It's not our style. Our English teachers wouldn't allow. But it's not English. The Torah was written a different style. The end of the Sedra, there's a big problem with the Dishon and the Dishon. That's a big problem. It says seven times Dishon. It keeps on switching. Dishon, 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 Dishon. How do you know which one is with the O and which one is Dishon and which one? So sometimes it's written Dalet Shin Vav Nun. So you know, sometimes written Dalet Shin, Dalet Yud Shin Nun, and you read it Dishon. So how do you know which is which? So the Chastuni quotes from the Masoira that the Bali Masoira used to have mnemonic devices in order to remember. So he says, the days on which he learned Kriyas HaTorah, that's when it's smaller. What are the days on which he learned Kriyas HaTorah? So he says, he starts from Shabbos. Instead of starting the week with Sunday, so he says, Shein Machamishi, the second day, and the fifth day, and the seventh day, so he starts with Shabbos. So he says, the name Dishon appears seven times here. So just for the sake of remembering, says, if you're starting the Shabbos, they lay Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, on Sunday you close and on Monday you lay, so the first and the third, and then you skip 2 days and you lay on the next day, so that's going to be the sixth in the list. Those are going to be Molech, those are going to be Nishom. That's the way that corresponds to the way it's by us. Others have a different tradition. That's the tradition that we have. The first one is Nishom, the second one is in Pasuk Chofalos, Perek Lamed Vav in Pasuk Chofalos. Nishon lists off the seven children of Eila b'nei Seir Achori. Lotan Shovel Tivon Vano. Dishon, Eitzer, Dishon. He had seven children. So the fifth child was Dishon, and the seventh child was Dishon. Then you go right there, so the next one is Dishon, and the next one is Dishon, 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 Dishon. The question is though, fine, so that's how you read it. For Kriyas HaTorah purposes, the question is, it says that this fellow had seven children, and he lifts up the name. Lotan Shovel Tivon Ano Dishon Eitzer Dishon. Fine. The fifth child is Dishon, the seventh child is Dishon. Then it says who were their children? So you go in order. You go in order in the later because who's the first one? Lotan. Pasuk Kafal says, Vayu b'nei Lotan. Then it says, Vayu b'nei Shovol, Vayla b'nei Shovol. Then it says, Vayla b'nei Tzibon. Then it says, Vayla b'nei Ano. Dishon. That's not one of the seven children. That's a nephew of these two guys. Dishon, Dishon, they had a nephew. Then you go and bite them. Pasuk Kavav, Vayla b'nei Dishon. His name was, child number five is Dishon. Child number six is Eitzer. Child number seven is Dishon. So you go in order. Everything goes in order. Then it says, Eila b'nei Dishon, in Pasuk Chavor, that should be child number five, should be Dishon. Eila b'nei Eitzer, his child number six, then it says, Eila b'nei Dishon, again. They both have the name Dishon, what's going on here? So some want to say that if Dishon didn't have any children. So he's out of the picture. And Eila b'nei Dishon, that was the other Dishon. There's twice Eila b'nei Dishon, so one was the first generation, and one was b'nei Dishon of the nephew. That is a sitting. But he quotes from the Vilna Gaon that he holds that it's not so. He says that the guy had seven children, he gave two children the exact same name. Dishon. The fifth child and the seventh child had the exact same name. The Hakam it says Dishon, then it says Dishon. It says no, when there's an Asnachta or a Pasuk, then you read it, Dishon. When it's in the middle of a phrase, then it's called, the correct pronunciation is Dishon. So he says, that's why. In Pasuk Chofala, if it says the Dishon, the eighth of the Dishon, it should really be the Dishon, the eighth of the Dishon. But it's an Asnachta, so that's why you read it the Dishon. So later on, you have Eila b'nei Dishon. Eila b'nei Dishon, that's child number five, child number seven. Very confusing. This is the Rav Shlomo Levilna has a long arichas on this. It's like the different Masaira with the Dishon. It's a big problem. Who's who over here? The end of the Seder is a big problem. Eila Melech Shemochu Be'eretz Edom Osnei Mila Melech Bnei Yisrael. Who was the first Melech of Bnei Yisrael? Shaul HaMelech. But what was this written? This was written in the days of Shaul. The Torah was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Torah tells you the names of the kings who were after Moshe Rabbeinu? The Rashi, for emphasis, no. That first they had Malachim, then they had Alufim, they had other things, Nitzah. They didn't have any Melech. So all the kings in Edom were over already by the time. By the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they were all over. His name Malach Melech refers to Shaul HaMelech. And by his time, there were no longer Malachim. There were other things. They had a president. A democracy or something. There was no longer a monarchy. And other Rishonim and Achronim, the Ketav HaKabbalah has a long, because he has to defend the Orthodox tradition. Ketav HaKabbalah is written by Talmud Rebbe Kivegi when there was already reform floating in the air. So there were those who claimed that the Torah was written in later generation. It wasn't written by Moshe Rabbeinu. So they say, obviously it was written in the days of Shaul HaMelech or later. How could Moshe Rabbeinu write who was the king? The Rashi ready for him. There were no longer any kings later. So he says, no. And other Rishonim already say this before the Reform Movement. They say Lefnei Melech refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Melech. The Yibishur Melech refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. Zohar has a lot about this. Elam Lachem Shemach B'Yedam has pages and pages. Some kind of Seudas HaKabbalah here. Okay.